Thank you for listening to this week's sermon podcast by Dr. John Hanna. It is our hope and prayer that you will be encouraged in your faith and in your walk with Jesus. For more information, please go to springfieldchurch.org. Here now is the most recent message.
Did you hear the scream yesterday? It happened about 7:45 in the morning. If you didn't hear the scream, you probably need to get your hearing checked. It originated from our bathroom in our home. And I'm fairly certain that people in Roseburg, probably even in Medford, heard the scream.
Oh my God.
Renee was in the bathroom, and all of a sudden I hear this blood-curdling scream. I mean, I thought the apocalypse was upon us, you know? I said, Renee, what's wrong? And from what I could interpret of the musterings coming out of her mouth, there was some kind of bug or creature that had crawled up her leg. I said, Renee, are you okay? I said, how big was this bug? I don't know, maybe a quarter of an inch. Or a half an inch, or 3/4 of an inch. It kept growing, you know? An inch and a half. Oh my goodness. It was very harrowing. I'm happy to report that Renee is okay. And I think the bug has been squelched and will be a threat no more. But that scream reminded me yesterday that Renee is alive and well, and she has the lung capacity to prove it. We were made to be fully alive, to sing, to scream, to cry, to yell, to laugh. God created us to go forth and live. Creator God, the opening chapters of our Bible, God created us to live and to live the full, abundant life in Christ. My father-in-law, for Christmas, gave me this drone, and it's just been sitting on the shelf, and I looked at it the other day, and I said, he didn't give me this quadcopter drone just for it to sit on the shelf. This thing was designed to take out of the box and fly. I got to thinking about this, and how so many people just kind of maybe set their lives on the shelf and do nothing with their lives, when in fact God has called us to go forth and live. But just as this thing was designed not to sit on a shelf but to fly and do what it was intended to do, God has called us to live. And life comes with a set of instructions, and it's called God's Word. I want to continue in this series with a message that I'm calling today, Mind Your Own Life. Not mind your own business, which is not a bad thing to do. We do need to mind our own business. But the Bible also tells us to mind our own life, to be attentive to the kind of life that God has called us to live and the kind of life we are, in fact, to live. So turn with me in your New Testaments, if you will, to Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 5. Now, if you're like me, I get Galatians, Ephesians, Colossians, and Philippians kind of mixed up. I get them all mixed up. And so I learned many, many years ago, and I don't remember where I picked it up at, a simple acronym to help me understand and remember which comes first. And maybe this will be of help to you. It's God's Electric Power Company. Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. God's Electric Power Company, which is what God's Word is. This provides me the energy and the power that I need to continue living faithfully in the way God would have me live. So today we're in Ephesians chapter 5, and I want to begin at verse 15 with some very, very practical words of advice that the Apostle Paul has written there to first century Christians about how they are to live their life and live life according to God's way. And these words are just as applicable to us today in the 21st century. Ephesians chapter 5, beginning at verse 15. Be very careful, then, how you live. We're called to live, and we're called to live in the power of God, and we're called to live with purpose and intentionality, but look at the caveat he puts there. Be very careful how you live. Not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. Do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit. Speak to one another with psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Sing and make music in your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Mind your own life. I look at this passage here, and I see at least six dichotomies. Maybe you see more. Here are the six that I see, these dichotomies. The first I see is, you know, living a careful life versus the careless life. The second I see is living the wise life versus the unwise life. The third I see is living an opportunistic life versus the neglectful life. The fourth I see is the foolish life versus the willful life. The fifth dichotomy I see is living the drunken life versus the driven life. And finally, I see the potty mouth versus the praise mouth. Okay, and let me just briefly go over these six with you. First, we are told here and given instruction here, divine instruction, that we are to live very careful lives versus a life that is careless. We all know people who are fairly attentive about the kind of life they live, but we also know people who just are very careless and don't really give much thought about the direction and trajectory of their life. And it is usually those people that end up suffering more than the person who gives very thoughtful, intentional, careful deliberation about the kind of life they're going to live. I have in my study this book that I pulled off the bookshelf the other day, 50 Secrets of the World's Longest Living People. And I said, oh, this might be helpful. I came across a list here of some do's and some don'ts. The do's of those who have tended to live a long, careful, productive, fruitful life, and the don'ts of things to stay away from and neglect. Are you interested in hearing this list?
Sure.
Here are some of the don'ts. Don't, and I'm probably going to step on some toes here, including mine. Don't overeat. I know. Don't overcook your food. Don't eat refined sugar. Don't eat refined or processed foods. Don't eat too much meat or dairy. Don't smoke. Don't drink much tea or, sorry, Joyful Grind people, coffee. Don't drink alcohol in excess, and don't eat junk food. Note to self, I need to read this book before Renee and I go to Carl's Jr. like we did last night for dinner. So, and much of what's in this book has to do with food. You know, just being careful about what we put into our bodies. But not only that, being careful about what we put into our minds, into our heart. I mean, garbage in, garbage out. We really do need to be careful about how we live our life. Here are some of the do's. Do eat a diet high in nutrients and moderate in calories. Do consume plenty of fresh fruit and veggies from local sources. Do ingest plenty of essential fatty acids from fish. Do use olive oil regularly. Do choose whole grains rather than refined carbohydrates. Do eat vegetable protein. Moderate alcohol intake, and I'll get to that here in a little bit. Do exercise regularly. Do maintain busy but mainly stress-free lives. And this is cool. Do live in a loving, close-knit community. Now, God in His wisdom designed the church. You are my close-knit, loving community. And I'm grateful for you. And for those who don't live in a healthy home life, they can find a loving, close-knit community in the local church. So I think we need to pay attention to those who have deliberately thought about and put into practice a way to live a careful life, as opposed to just meandering through life and living carelessly. And so Paul says, be very careful how you live your life. That's a word for me. It's a word for all of us. It can be easy for us just to kind of glide through life. And if we're going to go forth and live and be all that God wants for us to be, we need to be careful with what we do with our lives. The second admonition here is the wise life versus the unwise life. Paul says, be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise. I'm immediately drawn to the story, the parable that Jesus told in Matthew chapter 7. It's just a couple of verses. Turn to Matthew chapter 7, beginning at verse 24. Matthew 7, 24. And this is just a neat story, parable that Jesus told about how to live a wise life as opposed to a life that is foolish. Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man. And what made him wise? He built his house on the rock, solid foundation. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and huffed and puffed and beat against that house. And guess what? It did not fall. Why? Because it had its foundation on the rock. And Jesus defined what that rock was earlier when he said, they are these words of mine. That is a beautiful picture of a life who's seeking to live wisely, putting into practice the words, the teachings of Jesus. You want a solid, wise life? Build your house on the rock. However, verse 26, but everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish person who built their house on sand. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and huffed and puffed and beat against the house. And guess what? It fell, and not just fell, but it fell with a great crash. The wise life versus the unwise life. And again, we just need to be very deliberate, intentional, about what foundation are we building our life upon. And I would say this, even more importantly, is who are we going to build our life upon? Politicians come and go. Presidents come and go. People come and go out of our lives. And if we build our life or our philosophy of life around any human person, we're going to crash and burn. But if we build our lives on the foundation of Christ, you will stand firm. The next one is the opportunistic life versus the neglectful life. Look at what Paul says again in Ephesians 5:16. Making the most of every opportunity because the days are evil. Living an opportunistic life, seizing these moments that God gives you to do something unique, special with your life. Benjamin Franklin, who wasn't known to be the most religious of the founding fathers, nonetheless lived a prudent life and would ask himself two questions every day. In the morning, he would ask himself this question: what good shall I do this day? And then every night before he went to bed, he would ask himself, what good have I done this day? And those are two pretty good guiding principles that should guide our daily lives. God, what good am I going to do today? What opportunities are you going to give me today that I can seize and take advantage of? And then at the end of every day, just stop and reflect upon your day. Don't beat yourself up, but just reflect. What good have I done today? Seize the most of every opportunity you're given. Because as you know, the days are evil. We don't know what will be tomorrow. We don't know what will be next week. We don't know what freedoms may be taken away from us. We just don't know what the future holds. What we do know is what we have in this present moment. And so make the most of this opportunity you have today. The next one is the foolish life versus the willful life, the life that is seeking the will of God. Verse 17, therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. And when I read that, immediately I think to the book of Proverbs. If you want to live a wise life, if you want to know what God's will is for you, a great place to start is the book of Proverbs. Just turn to Proverbs chapter 15. I just want to give you just a few verses for you to think about. And by the way, we are nearing the end of April, soon to begin the month of May. There are 31 days in the month of May. There happen to be 31 chapters in the book of Proverbs. Take a chapter a day and just read through Proverbs. That is a great starting point to gain wisdom, to avoid foolishness, and to know the will of God. But Proverbs 15, just a few verses here, verse 2. And in this chapter in particular, you see a lot of the dichotomy, the contrast between the foolish person and the wise person. So, for example, in verse 2, the tongue of the wise commends knowledge, but the mouth of the fool gushes folly. Verse 4, the tongue that brings healing is a tree of life, but a deceitful tongue crushes the spirit. Verse 5, a fool spurns his father's discipline, but whoever heeds correction shows prudence. Verse 7, the lips of the wise spread knowledge, not so the hearts of fools. Let's go down to verse 14. The discerning heart seeks knowledge, but the mouth of a fool feeds on folly. Verse 18, a hot-tempered man stirs up dissension, but a patient man calms a quarrel. Verse 21, folly delights a man who lacks judgment, but a man of understanding keeps a straight course. Verse 28, the heart of the righteous weighs its answer, but the mouth of the wicked gushes evil. And then verse 32, he who ignores discipline despises himself, but whoever heeds correction gains understanding. And Proverbs is filled with such timeless wisdom like that, that will help us live the kind of life that God intends for us to live. So rather than live foolish lives, we need to live willful, intentional lives, knowing what God's will is for the kind of life that he wants us to live. Next is the drunk versus the driven life. Look what Paul says in Ephesians 5, beginning of verse 18. Do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Now, this is a touchy subject, and I haven't talked a lot about alcohol lately, in large part because I don't think it's a huge issue for our congregation. But the Church of the Nazarene has this position, and we've always had it from the very beginning, that we just think it's best to say no to alcohol altogether. Amen. We're not saying that a person can't drink responsibly, because I thank God that there are people who drink responsibly. But from the very beginning of our denomination, even to this very day, we look at what the excess of alcohol has done to destroy lives and homes and marriages and families and drunk driving deaths. I remember a man in our congregation who has since passed on from acute liver disease because he just drank to excess. This was years ago. I remember sitting down with him at lunch one time, and I asked him, I said, when did you start drinking? He said, probably around the age of 13. And I mean, he just drank every day, just drank. And when I had this conversation with him, he was probably in his late 40s. And I sat down with him and I tried to help do the math with him. I said, how much do you think you spend on alcohol a day? And we came up with a figure. And then I said, okay, let's multiply that by the week, by the month, by the year, since you were 13. And the end number there was so astronomical, his eyes were so big. And I looked at him and I said, Eric, with this amount of money, you could have bought a home, a couple cars, and yet he couldn't give it up. Our position as a church is that you can live a fully productive, healthy, fulfilling life and never touch alcohol. A couple years ago, I was at the store, and I saw a bottle of kombucha. And I had heard about kombucha, and I heard about the health benefits of kombucha, but I didn't really know anything about it. So I said, I'm gonna try a bottle of this kombucha. You know, it's all the craze right now, and people are talking about it. I'm curious. Well, I looked at the contents, and it said, like, 0.5% alcohol. And I said, uh-oh, that's not a lot of alcohol, but still, you know, when I became a pastor in the Nazarene church, I took an ordination vow not to drink alcohol. So this is how Nazarene I am. I called our assistant DS at the time, and I said, hey, I'm really curious about trying this kombucha stuff, but, you know, I took my ordination vow seriously. Am I okay in trying this? And he came back and he said, I think you're okay because you're not going to get drunk on kombucha. Long story short, I tried it, I liked it, and now I brew my own kombucha. And so I took a little hiatus the last couple years, but this is my first batch that I brewed just a couple weeks ago. This is kiwi and mandarin orange and strawberry. And if you want to try some at our picnic later, you can. This has 0.5% alcohol. You're not going to get drunk drinking kombucha. A regular beer has 5% alcohol. And so there's a world of difference there. And wine has what percent? 12%. And I won't even ask you how you know that. So anyway, my point is there are alternatives to alcohol. Plus, you'll save a lot of money. And if you're genetically predisposed to alcoholism in your family, it's best just to stay away from it. And so Paul says here, don't get drunk on wine. Let me ask you this. Does anything good come from being drunk on wine? No. Because as Paul says, it leads to debauchery. You just lose your faculties and your senses. The far better alternative, Paul says, is to be filled with God's Spirit. You will not only be of sober mind, you'll be of the mind of God. When you're filled with the Spirit, you'll be of the mind of Christ. Rather than drinking to excess, Paul says the better alternative is to fill yourself with the Spirit of God. And finally, we have the potty mouth versus the praise mouth. Look at how he ends this passage here, beginning at verse 19. Speak to one another with psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Sing and make music in your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. You want to go forth and live the kind of life that God created us to live? Sing songs of praise to Him. In James chapter 3, we read this very interesting dichotomy, beginning at verse 9. With the tongue, we praise our Lord and Father, and with it we curse men who have been made in God's likeness. Out of the same mouth come praising and cursing. My brothers and sisters, this should not be. Can both fresh water and salt water flow from the same spring? It's very clear what he's saying. With this one mouth we've been given, let's use it not to curse, not to cuss, not to blaspheme. With this one mouth that we've been given, let's use it to praise God Almighty. Let's use it to edify each other and build each other up with words that build us up in the faith. And that's how we are to live. And so how I want us to close our service today, take your hymnals that are there in front of you, these maroon-colored books, and turn to Responsive Reading 67. Responsive Reading 67, and we are collectively going to praise God this day as we end our worship service. And I'm going to read the regular print, and you're going to read the bold print with me. And we're going to do exactly what Paul tells us to do. We are going to praise God Almighty collectively. We praise you, O God, Responsive Reading 67. We praise you, O God. We acclaim you as Lord. All creation worships you, Father everlasting. To you, all angels, all the powers of heaven, cherubim and seraphim, sing in endless praise. Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. The glorious company of the apostles praise you. The noble fellowship of prophets praise you. The white-robed army of martyrs praise you. Throughout the world, the Holy Church acclaims you, Father of majesty unbounded, your glorious, true, and only Son, and the Holy Spirit, advocate and guide. You, Christ, are the King of glory, the eternal Son of the Father. When you became incarnate to set us free, you humbly accepted the Virgin's womb. You overcame the sting of death and open the kingdom of heaven to all believers. You are seated at God's right hand in glory. We believe that you will come to be our judge. Come then, Lord, and help your people, bought with the price of your own blood, and bring us with your saints to glory everlasting. Oh God, we praise you this day.
Hi, I'm John Hanna, pastor of All Things Good, a church that believes in the goodness of God because God is the source of all things good. We are located on the corner of 18th and East Street in Springfield, and our Sunday morning service is 11 o'clock a.m. For more information about our church, you can visit our website at springfieldchurch.org. We look forward to meeting you, and I hope you have a great day.